1979. I got the other 79. I was putting around bunkers. Well, I chunked it and everything. Chunked it or stole. I did exactly the same thing. And then I went out and called Phil Rogers and said, Phil, I need some help. And Phil had been a good friend, and he said, sure. So we spent about an hour and a half, 2 hours one day, and then I think about another half an hour another day in L.A. And I just worked on what he gave me, and it took me probably a month before I got to where I felt like he's... You know, I didn't want to have a big lump in my throat every time I hit a chip shot.
Didn't you hit one in the U.S. Open where you had to really...
Well, I just knew it was the last hole in the tournament. I had 66 yards.
That's what it was.
And I just felt like it was... I said, well, Mr. Rogers, this little pitch shot is one that I practiced for quite a while. I said, this is going to be the crowning blow if we can play this shot. And I played it perfectly.
So what happened? What got you to that?
I don't know.
It's
just like
it wasn't.
I don't know. You don't know what you get. You get nerves, but you get nerves. Every time Augusta, Tiger pitched the ball beautifully at Augusta this year, and I think Augusta is probably the most difficult golf course to pitch the ball on because you really are on hard ground around the green with a little bit of ryegrass on it, and it's usually moist, and you really have a hard time actually getting the club underneath the ball without chunking it or scalding it. I think it's a really tough golf course to pitch the ball on. And he did a really good job. He's not going to have a problem with that anymore. That's good.
Now it's driving.
Nick was...
Unless he gets one of his pitches it a couple times and does it again, then all of a sudden he's going to say, oh, God, here I am again.
Back, right?
Not rooting against him. Right? Not rooting for him, but you're not rooting against him.
I never root against anybody. I've never done that. I don't believe in it. I always believe that, you know, I've got a record, and that's my record, and that's what I've done. Come chase it. If you beat it, fine. Or if I'm on the golf course playing and another guy's on playing with them, I don't ever want them to screw up. I just want to play better. If I do the best I can and they beat me, fair enough. That's always the way I do. And that way I always got my conscience clear. I've always had my conscience clear because I've never wished a guy bad luck.
But you understood what Faldo was saying.
Do you want him to break your record?
Oh, no.
Of course you don't. No, but I'm not going to wish him bad luck to do that.
Sure.
That's just not nice. I just don't believe that.
When he played, the reputation...
And I don't think he did.
No,
he's
just kidding.
Right. He was. His reputation was sort of very focused, not real, I don't know what, friendly, whatever you want to call it.
Sociable.
Real sociable.
No, he wasn't. But that was what I was talking about. For about a 10-year period, he was just dead focused on what he did. Before he won, you know, he was sort of lackadaisical with play. Then all of a sudden, he became focused. And then when he got done again, then he basically didn't even play. He just stopped playing.
Is it hard being buddies on the course? I mean, you know, hackers go... Well,
depends on your personality. Okay. Some guys are that way. Trevino's releases to talk. I mean, Hogan, when I played with Hogan in 1960, I mean, Hogan, everybody's talking about Hogan, we never talked about Hogan. It was fine. I mean, we talked about a lot of different things, walking off the tees and so forth. Now, I mean, he's a 20-year-old kid. He was 53 or 4 years old, whatever it was. When we got about 50, 60, 100 yards, whatever it was from our ball, and he went about his mind, got himself set up, did what he did. And if you hit a good shot, it was a good shot. You knew if it wasn't a good shot, and he didn't say good shot, you knew it wasn't.
that's
just the way it was.
Jack, first time I got to see you play, I'm a 19-year-old hacker out of the farm. Saw you at the Columbus Country Club, the one-day pro-am that you had before you had all this stuff. You drove it into the left trees. You hit it like a little 7-iron, hooked it around, ran it up on the green. And I thought, man, if somebody can do that, Columbus Country Club.
Yeah, but where?
I'm not right. I don't know. It was one of the par fours. I don't even know the course that well. But watch you do that. Can you imagine going back from the one-day pro-am like that to all the good things that you've done here at the Memorial, the Children's Hospital, all the work you've done down in South Florida with the charities and all that kind of thing? Could you ever imagine that?
Well, you know, my wife is basically the genesis of all that. I mean, basically, I was a golfer, and we raised money for the hospital here. I was part of the tournament. It was all tournaments had some charity involvement. Then all of a sudden, she really wanted to get involved and start. And when she started getting involved, and I found out how really neat that was. So you really turn around rather than just giving some money and running off someplace else and not doing anything, to get involved and be part of it, and see the kids and how the kids have responded and what the kids have been helped by it. I mean, just like we talked earlier, the Nationwide Children's Hospital saw 1,100,000 visitors last year from 50 countries, or 50, all 50 states and, what, 90 countries, was it?
41 countries.
41 countries?
Yes, sir.
I mean, can you believe that?
And that's just here. And I mean, you have that's the same thing down in South Florida.
We got the same thing. Miami Children's is a larger hospital than Columbus. And it's not Miami anymore. It's Nicholas Children's Hospital. And it takes all of the southern Florida and all through the Caribbean and South America come to Miami. So it's really neat to see that happen and neat to be part of it, to know that you're helping people on it. That's what's neat about it. And that's my wife. My wife got me into that part of it. I don't ever want to take credit for that. I'm Barbara's support. And, but then once I saw what was happening, I saw how she was doing and what she meant and what it meant by it, I got as enthusiastic about it as she is.
Let's change gears here real quick. You've been in the golf design business for many years. You've seen the ebbs and flows.
Sort of lately.
Well, that's my question. Do you feel like golf is maybe, I mean, given the numbers of the Masters this year, they're up so much, and I don't know, just kind of feel like maybe golf is going to turn around here and kind of be on the upswing a little bit?
I think golf is on the upswing. I don't think there's any question about that. I mean, I know that I did an interview about 6 months ago with somebody. I don't want to mention the name, but his whole agenda was to tell how bad golf was. And I just took the other side of the coin. I said, no. I said, I think golf, and I did. I think golf has turned the corner. And so he used less than 5 minutes of what he talked out of an hour with me. And so because I just didn't like that agenda. Because I said, why would you want to put something down that I don't think is? And now I see within this last week, I've had three calls for courses in the United States for new courses.
That's going to be my next question. What you've got going here, and also I just want to ask you a little bit about China.
China's got an issue.
They're contracting. They're contracting.
They got a lot of tournaments, a lot of stuff going on.
No, they got that. But what China's happened is that Xi Jinping, I guess that's his name.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. He is trying to get rid of corruption in China. And he has a corruption minister, which I think is number six in command. And golf is one of the big things that they saw that the wealthy people get involved in. There was a lot of corruption, a lot of buying off of officials and so forth. And they've put a lot of people in jail. They've torn a lot of golf courses up. And they're trying to clean up their act. And I don't think it's not golf. It's just golf is one of the vehicles that they use in corruption from developers and other people. So that's what they're trying to clean up. Now, fortunately, I haven't had any of mine because I haven't had any projects that have been in that category. Probably will. But they're going to clean that up before they really grow again in China. I've still got probably between 20 and 30 golf courses of some kind being worked on in China doing something. But they're being very cautious about what they do because of what the government's doing. And I frankly understand, actually, and I frankly think that the game will be a lot better off when they get done with it. When that'll be, I don't know. But we're really doing, we're doing work, oddly enough, I'm doing a lot of work over in Russia. I'm actually doing golf courses in the stands. I mean, because you never dream that they even play golf in the stands. I've got a fellow that we just hired that wants to be our representative in the stands because he knows all the governments in the stands. Now, can you believe that?
Yes. Somebody's got to do that.
Well, but in other words, not everything over there is what we read.
I had the chance to go to Turkey last year, and it's fabulous there. It's beautiful.
Yeah, they got a lot of all these countries are nice countries. They've got some issues over there. Obviously, they've got some bad issues and stuff that, you know, I don't want to get caught up in, obviously. But I mean, they want to grow the game over there. They want to grow the game through. I mean, I've got a golf course in Ajman and one in Oman, which is down the way, down in the Emirates. But and our company has got one in Dubai. We've got nothing in Africa right now. We were in Egypt, but Egypt's going to come back. The game has become a worldwide game.
How much time are you spending out of the country, traveling around and looking at sites and going over things?
Well, when I'm doing it, you know, right now things are In these countries, it takes a long time to get something done because they're just not used to it. It's just like you're reinventing the wheel. And it just takes a while to get them done. But I'm out of the country half a dozen times a year where I'm going over to Russia a couple times, China a couple times. I've actually got a couple golf courses in Japan right now, which haven't been for years. We got Korea.
Don't you have Bahamas too? You're finishing them.
I've got a couple in the Bahamas. I had a meeting yesterday on a guy with one we're going to do in the Bahamas.
But you're finished.
And I just finished one. I just finished one at Bahamar, which is a lot of ads on television on Bahamar.
I've driven past it.
That's a real, huh?
I've driven past it. I was there.
It's
a really
nice golf course. At Cable Beach, Nassau. Mm-hmm. And we got Sabaot Islands, which we got a couple of golf courses that are. They're getting ready to go. We're still busy. The difference is that we're having to travel. But in the last week, as I said, I've had three calls on people in the United States wanting to do golf courses.
Whereabouts?
Keep that alone.
A little too early for that.
A little too early for you, yeah.
I got one more question for you. You've said a lot, but 1986, finishing up with Jack. Jackie was great on the green. That maybe was your number one moment. What was the biggest disappointment coming off a golf course?
My biggest disappointment?
Or have you forgotten that one?
Try to. I don't really have any big disappointments. I mean,
63 British.
I had the British Open pretty good hand with when Trevino hit it over the green at 17. Then he pitched it in, and I thought I won the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach when Watson pitched it in. Both of those tournaments, I thought I'd won, and it turned out not one. I didn't even go to the playoff. Was that disappointing? Yeah, but the guy just played better than I did.
Thank you so much.
Sure.